I've got a move on, new song that I'm singing to. I got a throwback, comeback, step in my groove. I got these going out, painted town, red pair of shoes. You better do, joke's on you.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's Mary Sarah, and I am here hanging out with the most incredibly awesome person, Donald, on his show, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Donald with Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Pretty excited today. First of all, say hey to, well, Kevin Super Sick McCarty. What's up, man?
Hey, been a while.
Excited? Well, I'll be honest, Kevin, we're not doing this as much as I would like.
I think after the summertime...
It has been tough. Time. It's been tough. But I always love when we do this. I have a guest. Let me introduce Mary Sarah. How are you?
Hello. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Well, you sound a lot better in that microphone than Kevin and I do. So, but I'm just going to switch. Let me turn some knobs real quick.
Was that like a compliment or like a half compliment?
Such a backhanded, like from only in the mic.
If I had to re-say that, it would be totally a compliment.
How's okay.
That?
Thank you. I'll take it that way.
Well, thanks for coming on. Mary Sarah, Kevin and I enjoy doing this, and honestly, we would do it if nobody listened, because we have always said that every time we have a guest in and we have these conversations, which I know is going to be phenomenal, we learn so much, we feel better at the end of the day, and we're like, God, can't wait for everybody else to hear it, but if nobody else listened to it, we enjoy it.
No, I'm like really jealous of what you guys get to do, because this is fun for me. So if you ever need like a panel,
she beat us to it.
Seriously, we could do like a panel thing.
Done. Well, yes.
We'll do you already have
this.
That idea?
We will get to this. Well, we're
going to get this.
Okay, we got to cut that out.
We haven't. No, well, hey, Mary Sarah, who are you? I mean, I feel like in a lot of ways, instead of me being this professional interviewer, this will hopefully be like unlike any other interview that I've ever done. For one, I'm not a radio station.
It already has.
Good. Yeah, perfect.
That
was the show, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to wrap that up. But no, you know, I don't know what radio stations do or not do. I'm not in music. What I do is I'm really passionate about really good people who have really good talent that are doing really good things.
Oh,
that's actually why you're in that chair right there. So...
Thank you.
That was a complete direct compliment.
That was amazing.
That had nothing to do with technology.
Do you see the smile on my face? You guys can see this right now, it is ear to ear.
Well, and it's a gorgeous smile, but we do have a camera going too. So guys, we're going to put a little bit of this on YouTube so you can see us, because she's really stunning, Kevin. I'm a little intimidated. I'm getting past these nerves.
All these compliments, I'm like,
hey, well, don't worry. Cause
does anybody else get awkward about that?
Well, but we're going to, Kevin's going to throw some punches here in a little bit. So we're just building you up to break you down.
Yeah. That's logic.
Cause
I
call this right here, the fact machine.
Yeah.
And so if you say something and I don't think you're being honest, I will double check it.
Oh, it tells you.
Well, you did get lucky.
The internet does tell you things, I promise.
You actually did get lucky. We usually have Kevin's computer hooked up to this really big TV behind us. And so every now and then he would find really cool stuff and maybe throw it up on there that you didn't know about.
I'm still trying to figure out what I'm looking at in that photo, though.
That's you.
No, I know. But maybe I was staring at the light.
You never know
when you see photos back. You're like, well, what was I looking at there?
You know, I haven't done a whole lot of, I guess, modeling or photo shoots, but I've done enough to know this. And it's actually very humbling, believe it or not. Ooh. The best pictures that you take, you cannot recreate and do on purpose.
Nuh-uh.
You know what I mean? It's like you will take 100 pictures. And the first time I actually did a photo shoot, I had no idea. Cause the last time before I'd actually done it in my adult age was when mom took me. Right. And it was like the family.
Oh, that's great. They dress you up.
They dress you up. Okay. But they also go chin here. They actually put your chin at the angle.
Like, we need
right.
your side
smile,
chin.
Stay and click. That's not like any type of photo shoot. Now they just go.
And they just snap. Be natural.
Yeah.
Here's the camera.
Which, by the way, guys, is great. The good ones know what they're doing. But the thing is like they will catch you at the right moment. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, man, that's really good. And I'm like, but I couldn't redo that if I even tried.
No. And honestly, I've worked with some photographers who are like, could you do that face again? And I'm like, what face?
Right.
Show me. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm literally just moving around.
Yeah, they were like that in between smile, grin thing you had going. I'm like, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I can try, but it would not work.
Well, anyway, it doesn't matter what you're looking at because you look good. So there you go.
Thank you.
Kind of looks like you're looking in the mirror though. So
yeah. Very deep in thought.
That's all right. All right. Well, other than that, tell us, so you're from Oklahoma. How did you get to Nashville? Yeah. Like why? I know there's this a long history and I don't want to go through this bio, right? But like, give me your 30-second commercial overview as to why you're in this chair in Nashville.
Okay. So, yes, I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but, moved a year later to Texas. So I technically claim myself as a Texan. I have a tattoo on my back with Texas on it. So I think that makes it, but, moved to Texas and, started music at the age of probably 12 years old professionally. I was actually on Kids Bop. So if you ever know the Kids Bop CDs, I was a Kids Bop kid.
Yes.
On tour. Yeah. Don't make fun of me.
I did see that. I want to talk a little bit more, but let's go on.
Yeah, keep going on the timeline. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Kids Bop. Then after that, I did a record of my own called Crazy Good in Austin, Texas, and then ended up doing a duets project called Bridges. And I was 15 at the time, and it was crazy. And about a year and a half into it, it was like, I need to be in Nashville to finish this record correctly, because I was flying back and forth from Texas, and it was like, you know, people wanted to meet about things and I'm like, I'm out of town. You know, it was really difficult. And to finish the project, I was like, you know what? I'm 17 and ready to, you know, jump in and figure it out. And I'd been coming back and forth all the time. So that's what, I mean, but music brought me here. So just, you know, like almost everybody else on this town.
I've like never heard that story. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I'm one of the few, obviously, that moved not because of music, but I guess I could empathize, but I cannot sympathize when it comes to being basically a child star.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if anybody can really relate to that, but you're talking about all these really kind of big career decisions and then you go at 12.
I know. And,
I'm not real sure I make great career decisions at my age.
Yeah.
Much less 12. So I'm just wondering like,
I've had guidance. I mean, I definitely have had such like mentors come into my life during those periods, like people who needed to be there at that time and lessons I learned from those people at that time. And it was, I really believe in perfect timing.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 46:10, which is be still and know that I'm God. And
yeah.
So that is something that I always continually remind myself of. I was young, but I had people surrounding me that, you know, guided me and helped me through those times.
But I mean, there had to be like a decision. You were saying like at 8 years old, you knew, like you started singing. And then like, at what point though? Cause I feel like, I mean, I grew up, believe it or not, I had a brief singing career in church. It lasted a few months and then puberty hit. It all went down. But, but like if the church doors were open, I were there, and I've seen many, you know, of people, friends, family, whatever sing. Right. Mm-hmm. But not to the extent where it's like going on tour. Like that's, you know what it's, I mean?
Yeah.
When was that moment?
That was Kids Bop, really, when I was 12. I didn't do the CDs. Okay. So I did the actual tour. So I toured for 6 months across the East Coast and Midwest. And
they find you? You found them?
I was kind of going back and forth to LA a little bit and just dabbling in that. My vocal coach at the time recommended a agent out there. So I was going back and forth and signed with the agency. And that was the first audition that came through. And I talked my mom into staying in LA because we were supposed to fly out that day during the audition. And I was like, Mom, like read this. Like I read through the description of what it is and what it entailed. And she's like, there's no way I'm getting on a bus with you for 6 months to a year. Like, that's just crazy. I have two other kids. Like, it just seemed very crazy, but I was like, you know what? This is I just want it as experience.
Yeah.
So I auditioned and they asked me to stay the next day. So my mom pushed the flight again, which I'm like, she's been such an amazing person and inspirational and like motivator in my life. And so the fact that she pushed it, I mean, she must have believed in, you know, something, and that was awesome to have, you know, someone to believe in you that much that they'll push things like that for you. And so, I auditioned though, and 2 months went by, and I did not hear anything. And finally my agent, my mom was talking to my agent and she was like, hey, did anything ever happen with that Kids Bop thing? Because I was wondering. I'm like, I want this so badly.
Right.
And he goes, let me check. And he like hangs up for like 10 minutes, calls back and is like, hey, I've got great news. You landed Kids Bop. And I was like, I screamed. But, you know, first and foremost, like I was done. I was like, this is amazing. But, you know, my family and I, we prayed and made sure, you know, it was the right thing to do. And my brother and sister, I'm just very thankful for my family because my brother and sister were also so
older,
supportive.
Younger,
older.
So you're
I'm the baby.
Oh, you're the baby.
I'm the little baby.
Spoiled.
Can you talk like that for the rest of the
English accent? I didn't even know.
And sing later like that too.
Yeah, that's actually difficult. Have you ever tried that? Singing with a different accent.
Well, actually, singing is different.
Every day in the shower.
Every day in the shower, you try a different accent.
Of course.
Are you practicing? What are you practicing for?
It doesn't matter, mate.
It doesn't.
No one knows what that was. It was a combination of everything.
Well, I mean, I don't know what kind of reaction you get from the audience in the shower. Do you get good feedback?
Listen, or, I don't want to talk about what I do in the shower.
Hey, you're the one who started the conversation on that.
See what he does there? Yeah. Like, it's like my fault for bringing
it up. It's all you, Dom.
It's always me. So.
I'm the victim.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what it feels like to, you know, have a tour basically offered to you when you're in middle school-ish?
Yeah. Yeah, I was fifth, sixth grade.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, friends and family, I mean, I don't know. What do you do? Were you homeschooled? Because school?
It was. We did work on the bus, and it was kind of difficult for me, actually, because I still can't, like, read in the car, and I get massive migraines, like, if I do it. And so during that time, my mom and I would have to, like, do the show. We do the two-hour meet and greet after the fact, and then I'd be doing schoolwork, like, late at night, and then sleeping on the bus in the mornings. So.
Very much a rock star.
Yeah, super rock star life. But I did have a moment
to
answer your full question on like when it happened. It was a theater. I'm pretty sure it was in Chicago. And I was down in the backstage area underneath. And in theaters, it's all underneath the stage, which is really cool. I love.
Uh-huh.
But there's always signatures. And I saw Patsy Cline's signature on the wall. And all the other kids were like, "Who is Patsy Cline?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You don't." And I was freaking out. I mean,
you have a very old soul.
I do.
I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying, like, very mature for your age. Most people wouldn't at your age. No.
Yeah. No. And I don't know why I expected them to.
Yeah.
I was like, "You don't know who Patsy Cline is? Oh, I have to show you." And yeah, no, she signed the wall, and so it kind of had this like feeling for that show that night, and I was just so pumped. And at my solo, so there was six kids and we each had solos in the show. And my solo was Move Along, All American Rejects. And it was the bridge part.
They were just here. Did you go? I went and saw them on Saturday here.
I wasn't here. I was in Panama City.
Them and Dashboard.
That actually makes me so sad.
I mean, they weren't here. I'm kidding. You didn't miss anything.
Thanks for helping me. Thank you. You're so sweet. But yeah, it was the bridge part and Move Along. And I went up there to sing. And it was a really solo moment. I mean, everybody kind of like backed off. And then there was a spotlight on the stage. So it was pretty intimidating every time I would like walk up and start this bridge. And this particular night, usually I was thinking about how I sang it. And that night I was like, I'm just going to listen to the crowd, see how they take it in. And it was like a choir of angels. I mean, like, it was something that I had never, ever experienced. And it affected me so much that afterwards I came off the stage to my mom and I was like crying and laughing all at the same time because I was overfilled with joy and also crying because it was so great. Like, it was just such a joyful cry. And I just told her, and I just think my mom is awesome because I feel like I would have been like, "I'm sorry, what did you just say?" But I was 12 and I, you know, told her, "This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life."
Absolutely.
And she was like, "Oh, okay." And obviously I'm still doing it, which is great.
That's gotta be an amazing feeling. I haven't really had that moment yet. From a singing standpoint, I felt it. A couple of times. I think there is something to when you're naturally doing what, you know, what you're kind of created to do. Like, mm-hmm. when you feel that purpose, that calling, and you're like, I've always said, I don't care what your talent or your skill set or whatever it is, but like, as soon as you realize what your purpose or calling is, like, you're dangerous.
Oh yeah.
You are. You're dangerous because you can, mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know. I think there's so many other variables, obviously, but at the end of the day, I think the biggest one is just that belief factor.
Believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Cause you can have like, you know, people say that they believe in you and everything, but it comes down to you at the end of the day of,
that's right.
you know, whether or not you believe you can do it.
Gosh. Well, from the ripe old age of 12 years old, when do you start writing? You said, you know, then I didn't.
Yeah.
It's funny. You go through this 30-second commercial and it sounds so well in Nashville. It does, but not to the rest of the world. And then I just did an album. And then I was like, what? Excuse me? Like, you were 12 going on, you know, 25.
I know it sounds, it's so my life. So I don't realize that it's so kind of odd to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it's such a good question. Cause it was really right after that, that I started, dabbling in the writing. Cause I was always a performer.
Right.
I started with singing, you know, and I was singing other people's songs. And so I didn't even really know that I had an opportunity to kind of create in a different way as an artist. And that was, a couple years went by, went to school. So I was 14 when I started my Crazy Good project. And that was the first time I had gone to Austin with my mom and my sister and went to the producer's house. And we took a whole weekend to just literally sit and like attempt to write. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was so nervous. I was like, I've never done this before. I'm not going to be good at this. Like, this is just crazy. You know, I had a lot of doubts and honestly moving here has opened that so much more because, you know, I think the more you do it, you know, I don't know if it's the easier it gets, but you have to realize when going into writing sessions, and I try to tell this to like new artists and stuff like that, because it is intimidating when you go into a writing session with somebody who's had hits before.
Very vulnerable.
It is, yeah. Like, you got to be open.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going in there to do like a math problem, right? You're actually there to like open your soul.
Totally.
If you think about it. And you're like, by the way, I just met you 45 seconds ago.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. I love it too, because you get to meet so many new people and like learn about them.
For
and
sure.
Take that time and like,
yep.
It's almost just like fellowshipping with people. And we were just talking about, you know, you guys always have to be with people. It's great to fellowship with people. It brings such a, I don't know, just a little something to your life when you're able to do that. And so it did. It took me a minute to be vulnerable though in those sessions and not think logistically. Mm-hmm. It was almost like, hey, I need to realize that this is a conversation. I'm getting to know somebody and they're getting to know me. And shoot, if we land on a topic that we both agree on, like, there you go. There's our song. You know, a lot of people put pressure on like, do I have enough titles or do I have enough? Am I bringing enough to the table in it? You know, so it was right after that I kind of started dabbling in it and have since. So
nice. Wait, did your mom, who did you move here with?
So
or are you by yourself? Did you know anybody? Did you just show up?
Did I? Oh gosh, no, I didn't move by myself.
Okay.
My mom would have never let that happen. I love you, mom. but my sister actually, it was perfect timing because she graduated high school. And she wanted to go to aviation science, which MTSU here is
nice.
A great school. So she went to MTSU and I wanted to move here for music. So my mom was like, you know what? I'm going to make the move with you guys. And then my dad has a business in Houston. So he's back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
So yeah, we all kind of up in.
And how long ago was this?
Retreated Texas. 5 years ago.
5 years.
Mm-hmm. The first 2 years I was really back and forth to Texas though. So yeah. I really count like 3 years being here. And like in the writing scene and really writing it up.
Right. Well, I mean, believe it or not, like when it comes to music in general, back in the day, it's obviously music's evolving and as far as the industry itself, but you brought up a point, like I was a performer, mm-hmm. not a writer. I didn't realize there was another avenue to creating.
Yeah.
But most people don't know that even like Garth Brooks didn't write most of his unbelievable.
You've got a ton of. I mean, who don't.
It used to be more so there was a performer singing other people's songs. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I think by necessity, because of the way obviously music is paying out per se, that artists mm-hmm. now are like, I have to be from a business standpoint,
co-write
type things.
It's pressured that way, you know, that you should be like the whole entire package.
Right.
You
know? And I feel like that's where a lot of artists start from.
Reba jokes in her show. She's like, I don't know if I would have ever made it as an artist in this industry now.
Because
she's like, I didn't write any of my songs.
Yeah.
She's like, I couldn't have done it alone.
Yeah. So. I think in 2016, they had a stat come out that they looked at the top number one or top 100 hits, number ones of 2016, and the average number of writers on one song was like 4.2 writers per song.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, that just goes to show how important that whole piece of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Adele's and like one other song was the only one that just one person wrote. That was a number one.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact number, but there were a lot, like on Florida Georgia Line's first number one hit, Cruise, mm-hmm. there were a lot of writers. I want to say it was over six. I could be wrong, but hey.
Probably somewhere near there.
As many songs as that It sold a lot. They did all right.
Well, no, I mean, that's great. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
I think the heightened sense of what's going on politically with songwriting and royalties and how they're paying out and how they're capturing that stuff is a constant conversation now of new legislation and things coming out and how they're fighting it. And it's going to be interesting how it shakes out. But, you know, it reminds me of when I don't know where you were in when the housing crisis happened, but it was like no one knows what's in these deals type things. It's like no one knows how this really works.
Yeah.
The people making the decisions don't really know.
And this is why it's always been a gray area, because I don't really want to. How do you take somebody like yourself, artists, performers, writers, or whatever, that have a passion, but at the same time have to figure out the business part, right? And that's usually and water, right?
That's a good question.
And I'm always the passion guy. Mm-hmm. I'll take that back. I've been the business guy. And the reason why I'm even doing what I'm doing now is because I was quote unquote successful in business, but I wasn't fulfilled. So it was my wake up point of going, all right, I could make $1 million a month, but if I'm not fulfilled at it, then what does it matter? What I'm doing right now is my passion. But I'll be honest, and Kevin can actually attest to this. I'm not focused on the money part of it. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that I'm focused on the passion part of it.
No, I think that's the best thing that you should. Yeah, that's great that you're focused on that. I mean, the balance, that's such a good question, because the balance between passion and business is so thin, I feel. And so it's a constant battle for me. When I find myself thinking of business all the time and thinking that way. And then I start to lose a little bit of the artistry in that. And I start thinking, you know, what's politically correct. But honestly, I think for me, it is really, and that's why you have to find a fantastic team to place around you. Because, you know, you are at the end of the day, the artist that the whole team is working put out there, and you got to maintain that. And if you lose sight of your artistry and who you are and your passions and why you're doing it, you take a whole team down, you know, like it's so you gotta, that's the one thing I think that's so important as an artist, to keep that. And I've really learned, I started to get in the business side of things, especially, you know, going on The Voice and everything like that. I started thinking business a lot, and I just realized it was harder to write and it was harder to just be the artist.
That's what I mean. Like that gray area of, you know, doing what you naturally love and want to do. And that's almost why you're doing it. Yeah. And as soon as you throw in the variable of business, it totally. It makes it that much harder, but it's just the reality of it. I mean, and at the end of the day, I'm not saying that you should do one or the other. I don't know that there is I'm pretty sure there's not a perfect success equation, right? For the music or entertainment business, but it's fun. And I think that we focus more on the mindset of, hey, whatever you do, pursuing any passion comes challenges.
That's what I tell people all the time too. Is with music, it's like, it is a business at the end of the day. I mean, it's where your income comes from and other people's income comes from. So it's a business at the end of the day. So it is a realization, but whether to live by it, you know, all the time is not necessarily, I don't recommend it as much, but that's just, you know, that's just coming from me and my life. So
that's fun. So brother and sister, are they here?
Sister is here. We actually just this past couple months, finally, we were living together for 2 years in an apartment together, which was very fun. Her name's Emily, and she's so creative. I mean, she went into aviation, but she ended up changing her major to graphic design.
Nice.
And she does these charcoal drawings and stuff, and it's incredible. I mean, she's so naturally talented at it. She's like that person that is so creative. She just can't figure out exactly which way to go, but she's great at everything, you know? So it's, she's awesome.
I feel her pain. I really do. I can relate.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
He's really good at making margaritas.
Oh, idea. Well, I mean, everybody has a talent. Yeah. That's just mine.
My brother, he's a half brother and I love him, but I don't, you know, look at him as a half brother. Cause you know, I live my entire life with him.
Sure.
So, and then I do actually have one other half brother. It's my dad's son that lives in California and is a photographer for an outdoors company, which is crazy because you should see the photos. He risks his life to take photos of other people on the sides of mountains.
Risking their lives.
He's kind of like a daredevil. He was a bull rider at one point in his life.
Nice.
I mean, that's just...
I'm actually covering the PBR this Friday.
Are you? Yeah. Oh, shit.
I know. My favorite movie is 8 Seconds. You probably don't remember it, but Lane Frost. anyway.
Yeah, no, I know.
Which, I don't know, kind of leads us into like my favorite, one of my favorite parts, which are these three questions that I ask all my guests, yeah. You know. There are no right or wrong answers, but you will be completely judged by Kevin and I based on how.
I have a score sheet.
Schnikes.
Yeah, I rank you.
On how you answer compared to every other guest. Are you ready for them?
I really know. All right. I really do. Yes, I am as ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Well, hey, if you could, and I know you started at very young age, but let's just say coffee and or chocolate milk. All right. Have coffee or chocolate milk with yourself, knowing what you know now, right when you started that. Let's go with that 12-year-old mark where you're like, this is it.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
Well, first off, I would tell myself to not stop drinking chocolate milk.
Perfect.
Yeah. That coffee
words,
will
never
be.
Never start coffee?
Never start coffee, really, because now I am that coffee person.
brought to you by Folgers. No, go ahead.
Yeah, right. No, not Folgers.
I'm just saying.
I took that the wrong way. I thought, like, did someone tell you to stop drinking chocolate milk?
No.
Like,
I just.
Stop would, it.
You know, recommend continual chocolate milk at least once a week.
Perfect.
But yeah, I don't know. I think. We kind of touched on it a little bit. It's definitely been a process in my life from 12 to now. And I would say to trust my intuition a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And believe in myself. That, I mean, we touched on that a little bit. But really, like, you know, not finding the belief in other people who tell you, you know, you're great, you can do this. It took a while for me to finally say, like, you're good enough, like, yeah. To myself.
Is that something that I've often wondered about, because it's a great answer. And, you know, I think we'd love to skip a lot of parts that we didn't want, but we almost have to go through them to even realize it yourself.
Oh, I don't even see. That's the thing. I look at life and I'm like, it's not, I don't look at life with regrets.
Yeah.
I don't have regrets.
See, that's a good one right there.
Yeah.
How many people do stuff because they just don't want to regret or they feel like they will regret?
Yeah.
And I feel like what you're saying is, hey, at the end of the day, you're going to make good decisions, you're going to make bad decisions, but don't live in,
No, it's exactly. And without those bad decisions, you would never know the good.
Sure.
And you grow. I mean, people need to realize it through the so-called mistakes and challenges that come along in your life, you grow so much as a person. It makes you who you are.
Yeah.
And you should be very, you know, thankful for that. And I wake up every day and I'm thankful for even the challenges that I have and, you know, the traffic to work. You know, so everything happens for a reason. And
yeah, I was having this conversation the other day with somebody and it's like the people that I know, not that I haven't been this person and I probably will at some point, where you overly stress on making a decision because you're so worried about making the wrong decision. Mm-hmm. But it's funny because when I ask this person this question, I go, so you're like this all the time and you just don't want to make the wrong decisions. Let me ask you something. Have you made wrong decisions in your life? Oh yeah, a lot. So you mean to tell me that you're stressing this much over not making wrong decisions and you've still made all these
decisions.
You've made wrong You know decisions. What? So at the end of the day, what is it? Is it helping? I mean,
yes.
To worry and stress over?
Exactly,
in other
yeah.
words, make the decision. Yeah, just
do it.
It
does not
know?
Help at all to worry no. about that. It becomes a matter of choice too. Because
yeah.
we all can choose what we, you know, want to focus our time on and whether we want to be sad about something or, you know, and it takes kind of looking at situations and going, okay, there's a whole lot of negative here, but where's the positive and where's the lesson that you can learn from the situation?
And those are the things that help you make the decision instead of just sitting there. I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, I think the wrong decision is not making a decision. Like decide and go. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's fear. We all have it. We just, you know, want to say, hey, well, I just want to make sure everything's right and this, that, and the other. And before you know it, you wake up, you hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
And even
fear can literally cripple you.
It will paralyze you, right?
Yeah, it can.
That's awesome. Well, that's good. That's a profound in its way. It worked its way out. I think that's exactly what you were wanting to say. You know, it was just like, hey, I don't live in regrets, right? I would tell myself that. And if I could go back, I'd do the same. You know, look, you're trying to make decisions off of just look, live it in the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't always control what happens to you, but you can control how you react to what happens
to
you.
How you react. Yes, you know? I love that. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, like, let's just live life.
Mary
That's
Sarah,
awesome.
Are you a wine drinker?
I love wine.
You love wine?
I do.
You know the romantic part about, you know, the more stress on the vines of for grapes and all that and the stress that's put on water, the better wine it produces, right?
I think I've heard this,
Because it produces fewer grapes, but it produces better quality
Sweeter
grapes. So the
grapes,
more stress that's put on the vines and the harsher conditions, and it will produce better grapes.
I love
better
that.
Wine.
I love that.
So now the next time you have a really good glass of wine, you go, God, these grapes are really stressed out.
Exactly.
I'm so sorry.
But you know what? You are reaping
but
the benefits.
But you are great. Yeah, but you are fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's a really great analogy. I love that.
Well, what about this? Your second question is the best advice someone else has given you. And I know that's sometimes these overlap, and a lot of times
there's
we've been
lot.
Given a lot.
Well, I feel like we already did this.
Right?
Just now.
I mean,
we pretty
with
what
much,
I said.
That's the best. Technically, that's why I have Super Sick McCarty, is to give the words of wisdom that nobody
words
else.
Words of wisdom.
Sit by.
Wow. Words of wisdom. That's awesome.
But is there one that specifically stands out that, you know, it's kind of been either your motto or like, this is what I just live by, or it really can be anything.
There's kind of a couple. And
you can do more than one.
I'm like, we keep touching on things, but like, you know, do not be afraid. And I don't know what anybody else believes, but in the Bible, sure, 365 times for every single day, it says, do not be afraid.
Do not fear.
So for every single day, you know, so fear can cripple you. So I honestly think the best advice that I've really lived by, especially these past couple years, and this has come from several people, is that, I kind of lost my train.
The best advice that comes,
because there's so many different things I'm thinking of. Like, I have so many different like things I think, like Dolly is, you know, I learned from her that take every opportunity that comes your way. So, you know, and obviously weigh negatives and positives, but you know, when opportunity comes, it's your chance to take control, and you can choose, and you choose those things and work hard and are motivated. There's that. And then I'm trying to remember.
I tell you what,
I don't know why I lost my train of thought there.
Well,
I tried to remember exactly what I was trying to go for.
I can tell you this right now. The piece of advice I would have is, if you have the opportunity to get advice from Dolly Parton, listen.
That's so true.
Because every time she opens her mouth, it's nothing but gold. So, yeah, you know.
Well, okay, I remember now. Thank God.
You know, always, you're getting older, and the mind.
It's leaving. It's running away right now.
Every second.
Yep.
So the biggest thing I've really learned, and I preach this as an artist, really, it's kind of one of the things I live by, and I always try to live by, because as an artist, when you do say things and believe in things and speak it out, it's like you kind of, it's the action behind the word. And so my thing is always put yourself in, you know, venture out, you know, conquer the fear and jump into uncomfortable situations. Because when you don't force yourself to, you know, get over the fears, you're in a circle. I mean, you just keep chasing the same things, and then you sit there and wonder why this is happening, and you know why, but you're comfortable is what it is.
Yeah.
And so you've got to jump into the uncomfortable and go, here's where I'll grow. Cause it's new experiences, new things that challenge you in different ways.
Yeah.
It's just getting past that fear. And so I remember that every time, you know, I do start to have those anxious thoughts. I'm reminded by my fans, thank God too, cause they hold me accountable when I speak on this with them and encourage them to, you know, grow and jump and be uncomfortable sometimes. And so when I hit those really, what, like the big ones though that come along that are like really uncomfortable, I'm like, don't want to do this. But I'm like, but I tell everybody else too. So I got to do it, because action behind the word. Who's going to follow you if you don't lead?
Yeah. And I've always heard that if you know something, if you really want to know it, teach it. Or, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, even as a sales manager, Kevin and I can probably relate to this. We can teach whatever, but if you, we can know something and do it ourselves, but if you teach someone else, now you actually have to do what you're teaching. And believe it or not, it's not, because it just actually affirms, right?
Well,
more than anything else.
And it goes even a step further is can the person that you taught teach?
Ooh, that's good.
Ooh.
So can they then turn around and teach someone else how to do it? That's how you really know transfer of knowledge.
Love it.
Deep thoughts
by Super Sick Kevin McCarty.
I just have a notebook of just quotes.
You're just Googling
quotes.
You're actually,
oh, I'm
just kidding.
Just Googling quotes.
He's got a computer.
It's in my
over
UPS
there.
Tracking thing.
We have less advantage.
God, there's so much, and this is why we love doing this. I heard a quote the other day that life begins right outside your comfort zone. Like, that's where life begins.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first started, you know, they say that like public speaking's the number two fear in the world. Maybe it's number one. I don't know.
Heights and...
It was either...
It used to be my number one.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I had a lot of those kind of anxiety fears and stuff like that too. I love opportunities now that are totally awkward, weird, and uncomfortable. And I try to put myself in that situation now just so if and when like my Super Bowl opportunity were to come up, Mm-hmm. Like if I were to get a call and go, by the way, somebody just got sick, we need you to do this. And it was like this huge, yeah, overwhelming opportunity. Like, I don't want that to be the first time like that I'm in a situation. Mm-hmm. In other words, one that I'm not certain with. So if I put myself in the most uncomfortable, awkward, weird, big, like it doesn't really, yeah, matter. But the more that I do that, the more that I'm used to it. Yeah. So when the Super Bowl call comes, I'm like, I got it. Yeah. And it's not.
It's life lessons that, yeah, you learn and things to conquer next challenges.
Yeah.
You know, but there will always, I feel like there will always be with those other challenges, it might have like the same kind of aspect to it that you've learned there, but they also come with new challenges, yeah, at the same time, you know? So you're consistently learning and growing and facing these things.
Well, because the bigger you are, and I say bigger in, you know, maturity, experience, whatever, the more opportunities that come up. That's, yeah, why, you know, at the end of the day, you're never going to get to these other opportunities and challenges that are bigger until you're to a point where you even are capable of hearing, seeing, and listening. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a mindset. It's never really just a one-time thing. Hey, get out of your comfort zone and then you win. No, get out of your comfort zone,
it's
but
continual.
Guess what?
Yeah.
That out of your comfort zone will become your new comfort zone at some point.
At some point. You just got to trust. Yeah.
That's I like your Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Yeah. His quote was always, I played Frank Sinatra until I became Frank Sinatra. You know, and it was.
I love that.
Yeah.
Reach.
Hey, and we can have an invitation now, right? But yeah, it's a belief quote more than, mm-hmm, it is anything else. Yeah. But it never was a doubt that he would be exactly who he was, right? It was just, I'm in the process of getting there.
Getting there. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's just kind of.
That's the thing is people rush the journey. Mm. Like so much. They want to just jump and get ahead. And it's like, no, everything happens in the right timing and you're ready when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you just got to trust that it'll happen.
Ready when
it happens.
And then when you hear the really, really, really legends, they always, it's funny because everybody's like, I can't wait to be. And then the people that are go, God, I wish I could go back and do. Right. It's, mm-hmm, like those two perspectives, which means, you know, the gift really is the journey. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my favorite one. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a question. You just have to finish this statement. Okay. You have to be completely honest because Kevin has a lie detector monitor somehow wireless to you.
Okay.
Mary Sarah, all you have to do is finish this statement. Donald, if you really knew me though, you would know.
Ooh.
I mean, I feel like I know you, but I don't really know you. But if I did really, really know you, I would know what?
I think it comes to a surprise to people that I'm actually somewhat of an introvert. Like I come off like very, you know, socializing, but I think I'm like a really, it's a balance for me. Like I need my alone time.
Yes.
To, you know, take my time. I go paint by myself. Like I totally promote stuff like that where you just go, I go to the movies by myself. Like, you, yeah, know, I don't always have to be like surrounded by things. And that takes people by surprise. Cause I'm always, it always seems like, you know, with social media and everything, it always seems like I'm doing something.
Yeah.
You know, I see friends from a while and they're like, you know, oh, you're traveling so much and you're doing crazy stuff. And I was like, well, actually yesterday I was just chilling in my bed watching Netflix, you know?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah,
but it looks like on social media, like I'm jumping everywhere and through hoops and, but I am, good, yes, but,
I, yeah, like that. Honestly, you know, one of the talks that I give, it's called Why People Do What They Do. And so I speak on temperament trainings, core needs, and interaction styles, which obviously includes that. Yeah. So this gives me a really cool opportunity. And that's the thing. I tell people all the time, I go, I think we think introvert and extrovert has everything to do with just whether one's outgoing and one's not, mm-hmm, right?
True,
and that's,
yeah,
just kind of the basis thing. But yo, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, really just the definition of the introvert or extrovert is one processes information outwardly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And usually gains energy by other people or being out. Mm-hmm. And the other one just processes information inwardly,
yeah,
and then typically needs alone time to re-energize. So that's, mm-hmm, has everything to do.
Yeah.
And I'd say people all the time, introverts can kill extrovert activity. So people go, oh, so, you know, you're a public speaker, I guess, so you're an extrovert. And I go, I know introverts that could crush me in public speaking. The difference is I'm going out afterwards because I am just been re-energized. I can do it for hours and I'm ready to go out afterwards because, mm-hmm, that's, yeah, my energy.
Well, that's like after shows too.
Yeah.
I mean, like once you get done with the show, you're like running on this energy and you're like, yeah, what is this? It's a natural high.
It is. But yeah, the introverts would crash. They, mm-hmm, would like, okay, I've had so much extrovert thing that I need me time.
Is it weird that like at a, yeah, point in my life, I definitely was like, I want to go out after everything. And then I hit a point where I was like, once again, I just want to go age. Get my robe on and go to bed.
You know, I don't want to talk about it, but you're just getting older.
I am. So. Gosh, you already called me old earlier with Patsy Cline. So.
Listen, I am
an old soul.
Old okay. soul.
Yeah, but then he was like, you're not old. You're an old soul. So I think, you know.
Mary Sarah, you may be reading.
Yeah, I think maybe we found a button. So in this therapy session, guys, we have now learned.
yep.
What are your takeaways?
I'll tell you the takeaway. The takeaway is because I'm projecting your age, it means that I'm trying to hide mine. All right. So that is the lesson.
It's honesty hour. Yeah.
There it is. That's awesome.
Well, self-aware about it.
I'm not in denial.
Well, you better know it than not.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. I'm obviously insecure about my age, so I'm going to put yours down so I can feel better about myself.
Right.
All right, perfect. As long as we know that. Now
it's out in the open, we feel good.
Now, I'm fine. I guess I'm okay with that.
Phew, that was way too deep. Can we sing, please? All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks so much for coming on. Those were awesome. You're awesome. And you are definitely, you don't even have a choice anymore. You've already brought it up, but we'd love for you to come back when you have a chance, can you?
Please. You guys are so wonderful.
But before we do that... Before we do that, I do want to hear, this is obviously my favorite part of any song, really, kind of whatever you want to sing or play for us, but tell us the story of like who, what, when, why, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So this is my new single called Without You.
Okay.
And I released it on my birthday this year, July 7th, 2017. I'm all about sevens too. Seven's my favorite number.
Happy birthday. My birthday was 3 days ago.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Happy birthday. 2-1.
Thank you.
Big 2-1.
Yeah. I don't get a year older though. I get a year better. That's kind of how I see it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like so inspirational.
Thank you.
So yeah, the song Without You was actually... a story that was real in my life. I went through a long distance relationship of 3 years. And with that, not many people have had long distance relationships. And with long distance relationships, you both have to give a little extra. Mm. And if you're not even giving at all and not even a little extra, the other person who is draining themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what I became, the person who was giving all the time and wanting it to work and make it happen. And I realized at some point too, you can't be a savior, and some people are just at different places in their lives.
Yeah.
And so it was tough. It was actually, the breakup happened at a time that I did not need it to happen. I was doing some big things in my career that had a lot of my focus, and I was like, man, this can't happen right now because this is where my focus needs to be. But now I have this, like after 3 years, like I could have sat there and thought of all of those memories and, you know, the good times and the bad times and everything like that. But I was thankful that I was kind of pushed in the situation of having the career move around me to kind of put my time into and say, look, I am not going to be bitter. I'm going to be better on this. Yeah. And so this song Without You came from a fact of, you know, I didn't want it to come off negative because that person didn't affect me negatively. Yes, there were some negative times, but I still wish the best for him and all that. Are you filming us?
Absolutely.
I still wish the best for him. And so it's pretty much, the song is about, you know, I never thought I would, but baby, I'm all good without you, you know, and finding that independency again and going to the movies and painting by yourself and things like that.
Great inspiration, by the way.
Thank you.
Remember when Carly Pierce was in here, I had to ask this question. She's phenomenal, but it was one of those things where like her now hit song that, you know, is put her on the map. Mm-hmm. It was about such a vulnerable, heartbreaking, true feeling, right?
We're talking about being vulnerable in writing sessions. Wow. I wrote this with some great writers too, though. Bart Butler, Mike Walker, and David Garcia. I mean, they were to capture, it's so great. Magic happens sometimes in writing rooms like that. And
when
I really
it comes
wanted
from
a
that
great
point
song,
of truth, you know? I'm like, you realize that this song that's now a hit that you're hearing and everybody else is hearing is reminding you of like one of your worst times all the time. I'm like, I kind of hate that for you, but I kind of love it at the same time. So it's like that backward hands compliment. Like, really glad you got heartbroken.
Yeah. No, seriously. Now, you know, sometimes I look at my life that way. I'm like, well, you know, here's a song out of it. You know, like it's a great thing. And when I wrote the song too, it was a release, definitely, of those feelings. Also, you know, it wasn't necessarily that it was all gone. You know, the feelings for him and everything like that. But it was definitely for singer songwriters, it's a release when you get to write about an event in your life and then kind of sing it out all the time. And it slowly but surely like lets it go. So
well, that's awesome. How many was that recently?
That was probably a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not as open wound. It's a scar maybe, but yeah. not a...
I think going on 2 years, actually.
Okay.
Cry. Well, but I was, you know,
guys, I mean, this isn't Bumble or Tinder, but I think she's available. I don't know. Did we want to say or not say?
No. Nope.
So, scratch that part out.
Yeah. Isn't that like... Sounds. Awkward. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, it's the social media. It's complicated title. We just don't do that.
We're
like,
just.
I kind of that's what I hear. I feel like I hear. I hear like there's a. It's complicated situation.
No. Right now. Actually, it's on. It's not complicated.
Oh, you're on.
What?
Oh, we're just saying, we're claiming. Are you available or not to the audience?
No, I'm not. I'm just going to leave it there then. I'm leaving it there. No details.
All right, that's awesome. Well, good. I'm excited to hear you play. We're going to stop here and do a little sound check and tuning. And hey, once again, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, guys. You guys are so awesome. I hope to come back soon.
And here we have Mary Sarah and her song, Without You.
You left a mark on my heart that I never thought would go away. I cried so hard in the dark, I stained my pillowcase, mascara black, wishing you'd come back. But that was yesterday, but what a waste. Yeah, I never thought I would, but baby, I'm all good without you. I've gotta move on, new song that I'm singing to. I gotta throw back, come back, step in my groove. I got these going out, painted on, red pair of shoes. You bet I do. Joke's on you. No, you never thought I would, but baby, I'm all good without you. Without you, I got room to breathe. I'm finding who I am. I finally had time to see that you just ain't the man that I thought you would see. You're just not all that I cracked you up to be. Nah. Yeah, I never thought I would, but baby, I'm all good without you. Yeah. I've got. Song that I'm singing to, I gotta throw back, come back, step in my groove. I've got these going out, painted town, red pair of shoes. You bet I do. Joke's on you. No, you never thought I would, but baby, I'm all good without you.
There's one of those things where I love your voice. I love that song. And then I was sitting there thinking, God, I'm really glad I'm not that guy, or maybe I wanted to be that guy.
It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's like, I mean, that's a great song. I love that
song.
Thank
you.
But you, wow, you killed it. Like, I can you just keep singing?
Just continually, like one note.
Kevin, can you approve? Kevin's my non-legal counsel. Can we approve more?
Back to Kids Bop, the All-American Rejects.
Oh, I don't know. Can you know how to play that?
No.
Not at all.
Oh, gosh.
Can we just sing it?
Hey, can we get just a flashback?
All you gotta keep is strong. Move along, like I know you do.
I'm trying to copy my Kids Bop self.
And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through.
You know?
Kid Bop's 19 what? What was that? 19? I don't even remember what year that was.
2006.
Six, yeah. 2005, 2006 was like Kid
Bop. Because I debated somebody on the year of that.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Well,
special effects.
Mary Sarah, not that I wasn't before, but huge, huge super fan over here. You have, and thank you so much. I think you not only are an amazing artist, but like an amazing person. So
thank you.
I'm
you
excited.
Too.
Thank you, and I'm excited to kind of watch. Hopefully, and you know, you're a big deal now, but I do know this is the reality that the bigger you become, the less time you have for more people, and I get that. But I hope I'm at least somewhere on
somewhere
your calendar, somewhere down the road.
We can make it a once a month thing.
Hey, I love it. And I just know that you have a huge cheerleader on this side of the mic. And if you ever need anything, please let me know. But I want to be front row at some point where I'm like, you know, that Kid Bop's fam, whatever,
the Kid
you know.
Bops.
You know what I mean?
Just like that, too. Like.
Yeah, just pointing up there.
And actually, I'm going to have to, real quick, Kevin, if you'll come over here, because I just want to do this real quick. So, Kevin Super Sick McCarty is my what I call non-legal counsel. All right. So, okay. I just need you to answer one question, Mary. Like, Mary Sarah, sorry, that you are saying that you would like to come back on the show at some point.
Yes.
That is officially a binding contract, and I will serve you papers if you do not come back when we say.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is, like, Kevin has had one legal class.
No one mentioned this was legal.
He had one legal class in college, and now that is...
That's the one thing he took away from it.
15 minutes.
Bam.
Oh, gosh.
Pretty much a lawyer. Over here.
Just kidding, obviously. But hey, thanks so much for coming in. You were awesome. So much fun. And we will do this on the flip side.
Let's do it.
All right.
I love it. Thanks.
Bye.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.